Showtime with Jack Benny, Michelle Piastro, Portland Hopper, the technical workshop players, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and starring Fred Allen. This is Jimmy Wallington saying you're welcome for technical dealers from coast to coast. Car owners know that the purpose of national mileage rationing is to conserve not just gasoline, but tires, and to keep America's cars in service for essential transportation despite the rubber shortage. But your Texaco dealer reminds you, your car must be conserved also. Now more than ever, its vital parts must receive regular lubrication and maintenance for longer life. See your Texaco dealer regularly. His skilled, systematic service will help save both your tires and your car. And now, when every mile counts, remember that the big Texaco star also stands for famous Texaco Fire Chief and premium Texaco Sky Chief gasoline. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, the New York film critics selected as the best picture of the year Noel Coward's dramatic masterpiece, In Which We Serve. Tonight we bring you a man who couldn't even get in to see the picture all last week. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, you're wrong, I'm sorry to say. I finally did get in to see that Noel Coward picture.
Well, how did you like it, Fred?
Oh, it was wonderful, Jimmy. When I left the theater, tears were streaming down my cheeks.
It was so emotional.
No, not emotional. The woman sitting next to me was eating onions all through the picture. She was throwing herring bones under the seat and using the leg of my pants for a napkin. You know, that's what I get for going into a theater so near Lindy's. They have the American plan audiences in there. It's no good.
Well, Fred, you can have Noel Coward. I'll take Lana Turner.
You'll take Lana Turner. You with that A card. How far can you take her? Why, you couldn't probably...
Mr. Allen!
Of course! Well, Portland, did you see the Noel Coward picture that won the Critics' Award?
Yes, but we'd like The Man Who Painted Dinner. Mama and I saw it 10 times.
Oh, you liked the acting in The Man Who Came to Dinner?
It wasn't that.
No, what then?
In one scene, Mommy Willie is eating.
Yeah.
And on the table, there's a whole pound of butter.
Ooh, a whole pound of butter. Yeah, it would cost a fortune to shoot a scene like that in a picture today, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
And speaking of butter, we've got an egg to go with this butter. Now, if we only had a certain pan I'm looking at, we'd be... Speaking of butter, we'd better get down to Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, during the past month, as you've probably seen in the pictures, in Boston and at Summit, New Jersey, meat dealers have started selling horse meat for human consumption. And so then our question tonight is, how do you feel about horse meat in your home?
Let's go down to Allen's Alley.
Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland.
Can I knock on John Doe's door?
Well, sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah? What is it, little girl? Are you recruiting for the wax?
No. Mr. Allen wants to see you.
Oh, that pest. Is he back again?
Yes, Mr. Doe. Do you, this is my survey tonight. Do you think eating horse meat will have any effect on the country?
Well, eating horses will put a lot of bookmakers out of work.
That's true. That could happen.
It'll make a pedestrian out of Gene Autry.
That's right, it'll do that.
The horse show this year might win the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval.
That could happen, too. Have you tried any horse meat yourself?
Oh, I've been eating it the last 3 weeks.
Well, tell me, confidentially, has the horse meat had any effect on you?
Well, instead of having indigestion, once in a while I get the heat.
I see.
And when I run for the train morning...
Yes?
I can do a mile in 1:38.
Since they're eating horse meat, you can actually run a mile in 1:38?
Yeah, but I gotta get down on all fours to do it.
Oh, I see.
Go on.
Well, that takes care of John Doe. Now, I'll see if Mrs. Nussbaum is in.
No.
Good evening, Mrs. Nussbaum. How do you feel about eating horse meat?
Eating a horse, even a little pony, this I couldn't do.
You couldn't? Well, why not, Mrs. Nussbaum?
When I'm a little girl, a horse is saving my life.
Really? What happened?
Well, my mother said to me to my delicatessen.
I see.
She's giving me a pickle I shall keep in quiet.
Giving you a pickle to keep quiet, huh?
My mumsy is stealing the pumpernickel the loaf should not be from yesterday.
Yes?
I am on the sidewalk with the pickle creeping.
Uh-huh.
I'm falling off the sidewalk, head and heels over pickle.
Oh, God.
Don Valenciennes is coming. Look at those spiffle up at early wagon.
The horses were running away, and you, a little baby, were in the middle of the street?
With my pickle, I am creeping.
Oh, yes?
People is altogether shrieking, yay!
Yes?
And the brewery wagon is coming almost on me.
The brewery wagon is almost on you?
One horse is bending down.
Yes?
By the bloomers, he's taking me in the teeth.
And?
Quickly turning the head, the horse is flinging me back into the delicatessen.
The horse flung you back into the delicatessen.
Then he is stooping down and flinging in the pickle also.
Good. And that is why... That is why you won't...
Exactly. If I am eating horse meat, someday I might be eating up the horse that is saving my life.
I see.
This, to me, is gratitude. Thank you.
I forgot to ask Mrs. Nussbaum what became of the pickle. Oh, well, another day for that. Let's see if Socrates Mulligan is in. Well, Socrates, what's cooking?
Well away. So long.
Well, that brings us to the last house in Allen's Alley. I'll see what's going on in here.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Falstaff's here to talk for Joe.
Now, please, you have a frog in your throat. Good, I have an introduction.
Yes.
Oh, happy to know you. The frog is an AFRA member, I hope. Now, look, Falstaff, let us ration your poems tonight.
I have been composing like a beaver.
Well, look, I'm really...
Have you heard, I knew that all would not be well when that skunk climbed aboard the carousel?
No, I don't think so.
There was fire in her eyes the night we met. She peeked at me through her crepe Suzette.
No.
Just because you're a wave, mother, you don't have to go out with the tide.
Now, you're upsetting everything. Tonight we have been discussing horse meat.
Precisely why I'm in your presence. I have written a poem.
Well, what is your horse poem called?
Recipe for Horse.
Oh, Recipe for Horse. How does it go?
Since folks around the country are starting to endorse the old gray mare for dinner, here's my recipe for horse. To prepare a horse for cooking, you'll find the taste improved if before you roast your stallion, the harness is removed. Then back into the oven and on the hour base, and with salt and pepper season the horse to suit your taste. And when old Dobbins medium rare, the hostess who is smart... We'll do as Emily Post suggests. Serve her horse meat a la carte.
Thank you very much, Paul Staff. And now, Jimmy Wallington with just a word to the wise.
Each one of you car owners, ladies and gentlemen, is the custodian of a vital unit in America's transportation system. Every ounce of your car's rubber, every one of its parts, and the gasoline it uses are necessary to America's war effort. National mileage rationing conserves rubber and gasoline. But the conservation of the mechanical parts of your car is your responsibility. Keep your car in condition for your essential wartime driving by seeing that it gets regular service from your neighborhood Texaco dealer. His Marfac chassis lubrication protects 40 vital points of the chassis against excessive wear with Marfac, the super tough lubricant that resists the washing out effects of slush, snow, and rain. His insulated Havilland motor oil insulated against breaking down under extremes of temperature, protects your motor hot or cold. And all of his many other Texaco products and services are planned to make your car last. Care for your car for your country. See your neighborhood Texaco dealer regularly.
Was Anchors Away, played by Al Goodman and his Chamber Music Society of Lower Canal Street Orchestra. And now, yes, Portland?
I don't think it's fair.
No? What isn't fair?
Making fun of Mr. Goodman and his orchestra.
Oh, Mr. Goodman doesn't mind.
But you're always picking on him, and he never says a word.
Well, why should Goodman hire an interpreter for one word?
But you don't give Mr. Goodman a chance. You should have more music on your program.
Good music, yes. And tonight we're going to hear some good music, Portland. Our sponsors, the Texas Company, like good music. Don't forget, they sponsor the Metropolitan Opera broadcast every Saturday afternoon.
Is your program going to be high class, too?
For one night only. Our guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is Michelle Piastro, the eminent artist, violin soloist, and concertmaster of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. It is indeed an honor at this time to present Michelle Piastro.
This is horrible, Mr. Allen. Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Is something wrong, Mr. Piastro?
I'm not Mr. Piastro. Mr. Piastro isn't here.
Mr. Piastro is... Well, who are you?
I'm Mr. Flugelman, Mr. Piastro's manager. I can't imagine what's keeping Michelle.
Gad, what a mess. This is a radio program, Mr. Flugelman. Now, we just can't hang around here waiting for Mr. Piastro. As his manager, you're responsible. I have announced a violinist.
Well, fortunately, I have a standby violinist with me.
A standby? Who is he?
Well, his name won't mean anything to you.
No, why?
But we around the Steinway building feel he has possibilities.
I have to have somebody, Mr. Flugelman. Where is this guy?
Yasha! Yasha!
I'm coming, Mr. Flugelman.
Mr. Allen, this is Yasha Benny.
Thank you.
Yasha will play for you, Mr. Allen.
This is Yasha.
Yasha Benny, and this is the biggest crowd you've ever had.
Look. Look, Mr. Flugelman, this standby also ad-libs, I understand. Look, Mr. Flugelman, perhaps if we could wait just a little longer, Mr. Piastro will get here.
You have your violin, Yasha?
Yes, it's right here, Mr. Flugelman.
You didn't bring the one that lights up.
No, I blew a fuse at town hall last night. I'm ready. Now, who'll turn my music? Who has a wet finger? Now, wait a minute.
Look, fellas, can't we wait just a little longer?
Remember, Yasha, this is a concert date, so none of that trick playing with the bow in your teeth.
Well, can't I do that one where I stand on my head, hold the violin between my knees, and pluck it with my big toe?
No big toe.
The little toe?
No little toe.
Oh, shoot, I washed my foot for nothing.
No showing off tonight, Yasha. Just straight playing. I'll go out and see what happened to Michelle Piastro.
All right, Mr. Allen, shall I play my solo now?
Well, let's not rush into this thing, Mr. Benny. This, as you know, is a high-class program. I'm taking an awful chance letting an unknown play here tonight.
I'm not completely unknown, Mr. Allen.
Who knows you?
Well, I'm very popular in St. Joe.
Oh, in the West. Well, will you step just a little closer to the microphone, Mr. Benny, if you will?
Just a little. This is so different from concert work.
You don't use the microphone?
No. In concert, I merely stamp twice with my foot, and away I go.
Well, you have the foot for it, I must say, Mr. Benny. I'll tell you, Mr. Benny, if we knew a little more about your musical background, it might help. Are you new at the game?
No, I've been playing the violin for 17 years.
Oh, I see.
I started playing when I was 5 years old.
Oh, and... you've been playing 17 years. That would make your age about 22.
22, give or take a year.
Well, I must say, Mr. Benny, you are the first young violinist I have ever seen who has more hair on his bow than he has on his head.
I have more hair, Mr. Allen. I just didn't happen to bring it with me.
I see.
I have hair I haven't even parted yet.
Now. You're a little too close to the microphone now, Mr. Benny, if you don't mind. Would you just step back a trifle, if you would?
All so new to me, I don't seem to get the hang of it.
You are slow catching on, I must say. Well, tell me, Mr. Benny, how did you first become interested in the violin?
Well, when I was a little boy, I had a big Adam's apple.
Uh-huh.
I had to have something to rest it on, so I took up the violin.
Oh, well, how did you learn to play? Did you get a transfusion from Heifetz? Is that how you learned?
No, I studied at Professor Hollis's Institute for Boys with Rich Parents and Symphonic Ambitions.
Oh, in Waukegan?
Yeah.
There were such folks.
Yeah.
And you finished school?
No, in my sophomore year, I was snapped up by a talent scout for Manuel's Chili Bowl.
Manuel Chili Bowl.
That was Waukegan's hotspot.
Oh, I see.
If you ordered the Mexican boiled dinner, I'd come to your table personally and play.
Oh, with the boiled dinner only. You were sort of a vitamin virtuoso. Well, after you had ruined the business at Manuel's Chili... Now, if you're hoping someone in the audience will give you better lines, I'm afraid you're out of luck.
Believe me, Mr. Allen, I got 5 more gray hairs at rehearsal.
After you ruined the business at Manuel's Chili Bowl, what happened?
Well, when I was 18, I became second violinist with the Waukegan Philharmonic.
Oh, the Waukegan Philharmonic.
Yeah.
You specialized in chamber music, did you?
We had our own chairs. We could play any place.
You say you were the second violinist with this versatile group.
Yes, sir.
Well, what is the difference between a first and second violinist, Mr. Benny?
In Waukegan, $4 a week.
That was the scale.
Heavens, no. I'd never write a thing like that in my script. Heavens, no.
With
the Waukegan Philharmonic, if you could play the scale, you could name your own product.
Tell me, Mr.
I
Benny.
I killed that gag, and I'm very happy about it.
Well, why don't you lie down with it if it's dead? As the second violinist in the Waukegan Philharmonic, well, you kept pretty busy.
Yes, you see, our first violinist only had one finger on his left hand.
Oh, I see.
He used to miss half the notes.
And after he had given the violin part the finger...
I would follow through.
Well, are you still playing with this outfit?
No, Mr. Allen. In 1937, I came east with Phil Spitalny.
Oh, Phil Spitalny. Well, isn't that an all-girl orchestra?
Yes, but where I sat, nobody could tell the difference.
With your big blue eyes, I suppose.
Now, if you don't mind, Mr. Allen, I'd like to play my solo.
Well, in just a minute, Mr. Benny, we must have a few more facts.
Facts? Look, Allen, I'm not marrying your sister. I just came here to play my violin.
Well, I know. I know, but we advertise Michelle Piestro tonight, Mr. Benny. We can't put on any broken-down schnook who shows up here with a fist.
Fortunately for you, Mr. Allen, I happen to be a schnook, or you'd have a libel suit on your
head. Not raise our voices, Mr. Benny. What about the rest of your musical career? Have you done any recording work?
Yes, I've made a few records for Victor.
Oh, Victor Records?
No, this was Victor Hershkowitz. A much smaller outfit.
Oh, I see.
You've seen that record, Cohen on the Telephone.
Yes.
I'm on the other side.
Oh. Remind me not to turn it over. Well, I guess that's about all the information we'll need, Mr. Benny.
I should hope so. I didn't have half this trouble getting a C card here.
Well, it looks as though I'm stuck and stuck good. Now, you can go ahead with your solo.
It's about time. I'll tune up with you.
Before you start, Mr. Benny, what is your number? I think you'd better announce it. We don't want people phoning in here after you're through playing. We'd like to have it.
Well, I'll take care of that, Mr. Allen. Ladies and gentlemen, my first violin selection will be the...
Hold it, Mr. Benny.
Mr. Allen!
Mr. Flugelman, you're back.
Everything is all right. He's here.
Who is here?
Michel Piastro.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, Michel Piastro. Gosh, it's good to see you, Michel.
I'm sorry I'm so late, sir.
Ah, but better late than what we almost got into, Michel.
Mr. Piastro is ready for his solo, Mr. Allen. I'll get out your violin, Michel.
But, Mr. Flugelman, I'm all ready to play.
Who needs you anymore? You can go, Yasha. Here's your violin, Michel.
Mr. Flugelman.
Go away, Yasha. An artist is here.
I'll hold your mittens, Michel.
Here's the rosin for your bow.
But, Mr. Flugelman.
I told you you're through. Now go. Here's your music, Michel.
Did this music stand right?
Mr. Flugelman. You'll get paid. Go, get out. See me at the office. Are we ready, Michel?
Yes, Mr. Piastro. What is your solo?
I'm going to play the third movement of Together Widen by Pablo de Sarasate.
That's the same number I was going to play.
Sit down, will you, Mr. Benny? And now, at long last, ladies and gentlemen, Michel Piastro.
A Mr. Flugelman!
We haven't forgotten you. You can go right ahead with your solo, if you will.
I wish I was dead.
But we're waiting for you. Why don't you play?
Well, it wouldn't be ethical. Look, would Heifetz play after Ben Burney?
Well, what are you afraid of? You have 10 fingers and a violin. That's all Mr. Piastro
has.
But
he played my number.
Oh, fine.
If I play Zigeunerweisen again, it'll sound like Piastro's playing an encore. He'll get all the credit.
Say, Fred, I have to leave now, if you will excuse me.
Before you go, Michel, I'd like to have you meet Jack Benny.
How do you do, Mr. Benny?
Hello, Mish.
Mish, then you know Mr. Piastro.
Oh, yeah, Mish and I are buddies from way back, eh, Mish?
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. I don't seem to remember you.
Well, I met you at Carnegie Hall. Mr. Papini introduced us.
Mr. Papini? Oh, yes, he's the janitor at Carnegie Hall.
Well, he is the janitor, but it's a much bigger job now. They've converted to coal.
Mr. Benny here is also a violinist. Mr. Benny has been playing the violin for 17 years.
You've been playing longer than I have, Mr. Benny.
Well, that's the way it goes. What key do you play in, Michelle?
I play in any key.
Oh, I stick to the key of C myself. I got to like it as a boy. You know how it is, huh?
As a violinist, Mr. Benny, how did you like my solo tonight?
Well, frankly, Michelle...
Did you notice I had a little difficulty in the eighth variation of the third movement?
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but since you brought it up, Michelle, you want the truth, of course.
Yes, of course.
Well, I thought your Andante was beautifully done. It sparkled.
Thank you.
I thought your Rondo was exciting, if not altogether brilliant. And your vibrato was adequate, but your pizzicato was, shall we say, lousy?
I appreciate your opinion, Mr. Benny. If anyone is an authority on louse, you are the man.
Perhaps Mr. Benny will play something for you, Michelle.
Yes, by all means, you must play, Mr. Benny.
Well, I'd love to, Mish, but it wouldn't be fair to you. After all, if I play after your solo, it'll only invite comparison.
Well, of all the nerve, Benny, you have the audacity to compare yourself with Michelle Piastro. Why, when you play the violin, it sounds like the mating call of a pair of corduroy pants.
Well, let me tell you, Alan, I'll bet $5,000 that if Michelle plays a number, I can play the same number and nobody can tell the difference.
You play and Michelle plays and no one can tell the difference?
You heard me, brother.
For $5,000?
I get $6,000 and a case of grape nuts flakes.
All right. Michelle?
Certainly.
Fine. I'll play the banjo to give the number a little substance, a little background. All right, Mr. Goodman, will you give us an introduction? Gad, what a night for music lovers. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the most sensational symphonic competition of the season. During the next two choruses, Michelle Piastro will play half of each chorus, and Jack Benny will play the other half. Mr. Benny will pay $6,000 in the case of Grape Nuts Flakes to anyone who cannot tell the difference. Let's go.
Star Theater, I want to thank Jack Benny and Michelle Piastro for joining us here tonight. Next week, our guest will be Georgie Jessel. And now, Jimmy, if you'd like to add a footnote.
Thank you, Fred. I just want to remind motorists that their tires must be inspected at an official tire inspection station before January 31st. Many Texaco dealers have been appointed official tire inspectors. We suggest you check with the Texaco dealer in your neighborhood.
And remember, mileage rationing saves your tires. Complete the job and save your car with your Texaco dealer's tow service. This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in regularly. Remember, you're welcome.